We serve a God of abundance, yet you're still living paycheck to paycheck. We serve a God of order, yet your house always seems to be a mess. You feel unappreciated and overwhelmed just trying to keep up. Does the noise of life drown out the voice of God? Hi, my name is Gina Morton, a Catholic wife, mom, and declutter coach. Welcome to Pruning to Prosper, the podcast where we talk about all the practical things to run your home smoothly. Clutter, money, mindset, and yes, everyone still wants to eat, so we'll talk about that too. That nagging in your heart is God telling you He has more for you than just trying to keep up. If you're ready to get uncomfortable, get brave, and see what you can do, then grab your garden shears because you're about to prune away the stuff so you can prosper into the woman God has called you to be.
When it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to Him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And He said, "Bring them here to me." Then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pruning to Prosper. This is the podcast where we talk about pruning away all the things that are not helping us grow into the women that God is calling us to be. This podcast episode is one I struggle with all the time, and that is, call it the witching hours after school to bedtime or after school till dinner time. But I have struggled for 18 years. I've been a mom, and probably for 11 of those years, I have struggled with this after school mayhem. Now, I'll tell you why it hasn't been since the beginning. Well, first of all, when your kids don't go to school, then you don't have those transition periods like we do when they're away from us all day long. The other difference is that when we were first parents and first married, we lived in the city and we would walk to school. And so I would go and I would pick up the kids and we would walk home. And on Thursdays and Fridays, there was a farmer's market that we could stop in. And I really think that that was just an idyllic area to raise children, because it was really just no separation between church and home and life. Like, it was just really, I loved it in that house. And I think I could have made that house work. My husband differed. He didn't think that we could have 3 children in that house, but that house, this is a total aside, by the way, that house would have been a great candidate for Love It or List It, because I would have just changed how we used that house, and I think I could have made it work. But anyway, that's a different story. Then we bought this house and we moved to the suburbs, and our kids started riding the bus. And that's when I really started seeing this after-school mayhem, because they would come off the bus, the front door would fling wide open, they would drop all their stuff right in the foyer, they would start screaming, "What do we have to eat? We never have any good snacks. I don't like her. She did this on the bus." It's just like, oh my gosh. And I would open the door with the best of intentions, like, "Hey guys, how was your day? Give me a hug, da 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 da." And then immediately they are dumping all the woes of the world on me. And I'm just like, okay, my patience lasted about 2 minutes once they came in the door like that. So it's already come up in my new Pruning to Prosper group. And we're all just kind of talking about these different times of the day and with our kids. And I love meeting all the women that sign up for Pruning to Prosper, because I say this every round, they are the nicest women. And I always pray for the Holy Spirit to prompt you guys to sign up for things and put the group together. And it's always beautifully mixed. And again, I've got beautiful, lovely women in this group. So we were already talking about this topic in the first week. And I thought, you know what? It's something I've been working on for years and years and years. And just like, what was it, last month, I finished up the winter round of Pruning to Prosper. And I said, oh my gosh, I saved $500 in groceries, because I go through the program with you. And then I work on the same things that you guys are working on. So I'm giving this podcast episode today because I need to work on this. And I thought, you know what? I might as well share it with all of you because we could probably all take a few tips or tricks from Jesus and the feeding of the thousands with the fish and the loaves. So today I've got 4 tips for you that we can take from Jesus's example on how to survive the after-school mayhem. First and foremost, have a snack ready. The disciples were ready to send the people away, and Jesus is like, no, 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 no. Just have them sit down. Let's just feed them. So the very first thing is have a snack ready. I have always found over the years when I have a snack that's already sitting out on the table and ready to go, it is much better than when they come rushing through the door and I'm like, what do you guys want for snack? And then they start rummaging. Then they start eating the granola bars that I intended for their lunches. That's when they start eating an entire bag of chips while they think about what they want to eat. And it's like, oh, those chips were supposed to last us for the whole week. Now they're gone in the first hour. So when I have a snack already laid out, things are way, way better. Now, here's the other thing. When I have, say, ice cream or build your own ice cream, or we have cookies or something like that, that's lovely. And the kids are always appreciative of that sort of thing because we don't have junk in our lunch. Like, I try not to give them anything that's going to make them tired for their afternoon at school. So after school is typically, if we're going to have ice cream or junk, that's when we have it. So again, kids love it, but 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, they're back in the kitchen rummaging because they're still hungry. So it's taken me a long time, but you know what? When you know better, you do better, right? When I provide them with a snack, that is pretty much a mini meal. I know you might be cringing already. A mini meal, Gina, what? Like, I'm trying to get dinner on the table. But here's the thing. We don't eat dinner sometimes until 7, maybe even 7:30. Last night we didn't eat dinner until I think 9 o'clock because we had lacrosse games. So that's a huge portion of their day from 3 o'clock until 7:30 that they need to eat something. And maybe your kids had lunch, quote unquote lunch, at 10:30 at school. So they've already had a long day where they didn't have anything to eat. So when I talk about a mini meal, these are the kind of ideas I'm going to give for you guys. Think charcuterie board. Okay. So a little bit of meat, some cheese, some crackers, some veggies, some fruit, some hummus or, oh, what else do we do? Peanut butter. I think one of the things I want to get for the kids is it's a big treat in our house to have Nutella because they will go through a jar of Nutella like it's nobody's business. So I really haven't bought it in years because it's such a rare treat. But I thought, you know what they would love as an after-school treat would be, we love peanut butter and Nutella. And if I put it on one of those little Hawaiian rolls from Aldi, so everything I'm talking about, you can get at Aldi because I love Aldi. And no, they don't sponsor me. But if you know anyone that would like to reach out from Aldi, I am here waiting for you. But wouldn't that be so delicious? Peanut butter and Nutella on a little Hawaiian roll. Oh my goodness. And maybe some fruit on the side. I think that's what they're going to get tomorrow after school. They don't know it yet, but that's what they're going to get. But you could do some, think of like high tea. You could do little, we love lox, you know, like the smoked salmon. Like you can do salmon and cream cheese, little sandwiches. We love hot tea. So that's a lot of times what we'll do is hot tea. But then oftentimes I'll just buy cookies with it. So then it's just like tea and cookies. And again, 20 minutes later, they're like, Mom, what else do you have? You know? So I'm trying to get better on like heartier snacks, maybe even little bagel pizzas that you put some pepperoni on there. You could do yogurt parfaits, but just something that's substantial enough that they're actually going to be full and they're not going to be begging you again until dinner, okay? And if it's kind of a buffet, then you know this is what you can eat. Until dinner time, this is what we have as a family. Because I think my angst starts to rise with the rummaging through the cabinets. And that's when I'm just like, what are you looking for? What do you know what's up there? Why are you in the cabinets? Why are you in the, you know, and that's when they start getting annoyed at me because my son describes our house as an ingredients house. And because he'll say, there's nothing to eat. I'm like, there's plenty of food to eat. You just have to make something, you know, like there's plenty of food it's just not what they want that's quick, easy, and usually processed. So they want to open up a bag and stuff their mouths with whatever. That's what they really want when they say we don't have any food in the house. So, okay, so that's my first tip is have a snack ready to go. And the other thing that Jesus does when he's breaking of the bread and he's providing the meal for the crowds, he's very present, okay? So number two, be fully present with your children for this stretch of time. I think a lot of times, me personally, when I start getting antsy and the blood pressure starts to rise is because I wanted to get something done. I wanted to finish up my computer work. I wanted to finish paying the bills. I wanted to finish up making dinner. I wanted to, right? And I think if we just mentally prepare ourselves that in my house, it's 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, all of Gina's desires are put on hold. And I am fully present with my children for a length of time. This means I put the phone away. If there's an iPad, if there's a TV, it goes away. My biggest sticky wicky are my earbuds. And it's funny, my husband is the tech guy and I don't really know anything that's even available on the market. So he bought me these earbuds years ago. And I was just kind of like, why would I want earbuds? I don't even know who wears earbuds. What do you do with these things? Well, let me just tell you, I am addicted. They are constantly in my ears. And even if there's nothing playing on them and I can fully hear whoever I'm talking to, my kids will still say, Mom, are you listening? Mom, turn off your earbuds. And I'll say, there's nothing on, guys. I'm listening. But I think it's just the visual that they see a physical thing blocking their voices to my ear. And I get it. It's rude. It's very rude of me. It's the same as if you're having lunch with a friend and they keep looking at their phone. They're not actively texting. They're not talking on the phone. They're just looking at it and you know that they are not fully present. So let's, for number two, turn off all the devices, put them away. Anything you didn't get done, put it on hold until after they go to bed or after they're occupied with playing or homework or whatever your family situation is. Okay. Number three, pretty much every Bible story occurs outside. And when I talk about the difference between our old house and our new house, I think that is the biggest difference. We bought this house because it had a big yard, we had a driveway, and we thought the kids are going to play outside and they can have a swing set and it's going to be great. Versus our old house, which was an attached house. We had literally like 10 square feet of a backyard. But I'll tell you what, we walked everywhere. We were constantly outside. And when I would go to walk, I would pick them up from school. I usually had the dog. And then we would walk home. And if it was a Thursday or a Friday, we would go to the farmer's market. We would walk around. The kids would get a slice of cheese or a beef stick or a cookie or something from the vendors there that all knew our kids. And then we would go home. And there's something about nature that we all need. You know, Adam and Eve, they started in a garden. I don't think that's an accident. God knows that we need to be connected to the earth. So once your kids have a snack, even maybe before homework, again, everyone's house is different, but maybe take the time to either go outside with them and go for a walk. Take them to the park if you can go to the park, or you just establish that this is outside time. You know, go get some play clothes on and go play outside. Okay. I'm more of a fan of go play before homework because I just feel like they need to get their wiggles out. They need some fresh air. And if we put homework first, then for most of the year, it's dark as soon as they're done homework. So I feel like once the sun is shining, get outside and play. It's good for their brains. I've been listening to different podcasts with this one author, and I'll put it in the show notes because I don't know any of the information I'm about to say. But there's a man that wrote a book, something, I think it's called The Anxious Generation. I don't even know. I'll put the correct information in the show notes. But he just talks about how the brains of our children are not wiring correctly because they're not outside and they're not playing and they're not playing with other real children. They're on video games in separate homes, quote unquote, playing with their friends. And it's just not the same as being outside and exploring and getting dirty. And my degree is environmental sciences, and I have a minor in outdoor education. So I am really huge advocate of kids playing outside and getting dirty and camping. I'm a scout leader. I think it's one of the greatest things we can do for our kids is give them the freedom to play outside. Lastly, when the bread was being distributed, Jesus had the disciples do it. He's like, here, distribute the bread, put them in groups, and then when we're all done eating, I need your help to like gather it all up, the extras. Involve them in your work. So if you're not going off to sports or you're not doing something and you're just trying to keep your kids at bay because you're making dinner and you're like, I know I can do this faster on my own. I'm not great about this always either. But I also think we need to look at each child as the individual gift from God that they are. And I have one particular child that just does not play outside well. She doesn't transition well. If the TV is on, when it's time for it to turn off, that's when the meltdowns occur. But she's also my child that loves to help. And I need to tap into that gift. Like, I'm depriving her of the gift that she was given naturally of helping. So because, of course, I'm thinking I can just do this faster on my own. But I need to, moving forward, make a conscious effort of letting her be more involved in the preparation of the dinner. And the kids will quickly set the table before dinner, but I don't really let them help me with dinner too much. And I think for this particular child, I need to really work on that. And she's very gifted in the kitchen. You know, like she made an omelet yesterday for herself. And I said, oh my gosh, like that's so great. And she's, you know, she's learning that sort of thing because some things I do have the patience for. My one friend is like, she gives me credit for teaching my kids how to cook, but really what she doesn't see is that was really more with the first two. And then the second two, I kind of was like, I got to just get this done. I don't have time for this. So I think I kind of have to go back to my roots and involve the children in the preparation of the dinner because, right, this is a life skill. They have to eat every single day for the rest of their lives. So I have to make sure that I'm preparing them for life. All right. So those are the four tips. Just to recap, one, have a good, healthy snack ready to roll. Number two, get off your devices, give them your full attention, be fully present with them. Number three, get outside. And number four, involve them with your work. I hope that helps calm the after-school mayhem, ladies. If you have any other ideas, please drop them in my DMs or put them in the Facebook group. But I welcome all of your advice if you can. It takes a village, and all of us with our minds put together, we can really like get some good ideas of what's working, what hasn't worked, and moving forward, how can we be the moms that we really envision being. I know a lot of days I am not the mom I want to be, and I worry that my kids are going to have these memories of this woman that's just like, ah, you know, and so that's not what I want. I want my kids to say, we came home from school, it was a soft place to land, there was hugs, there was kisses, there was a nice snack, and we played outside, and my mom put us before a device. Have a great day, guys. I will see you on Saturday for a 5-minute declutter with me. Take care.